How many of you were picked last or not picked when teams were being picked? Did that ever change? Or were you always picked last? Okay. When I was a kid, I was cursed with, in a sense, a sister who was 14 months older than me. Now, how many of you know that girls mature physically quicker than boys? And so when we got to the age where we were playing ball, we lived right across the street from the elementary school for all my growing up years. So there was the ball field over there. My dad would pitch for both sides, you know, when he wasn't working afternoons. And when it came to picking the teams, nobody wanted to pick me. I was short. I was really clumsy. And when the ball came to me, I went like that. Instead of somewhere along the line in my late teens and early adulthood, I turned into a pretty good player. But back then, it was humiliating that Andrea, or as we called her then, Andy, that's what my dad called her, Andy always got picked before I did. And she was really athletic and good at what she did. Life is full of places where we feel left out, outside of what's going on, and we have this whole thing now going where you could be a part of something and in a heartbeat you're canceled from it and are no longer a part of it and you're on the outside. It's a growing thing in our world, but praise the Lord as we talk about the story of Jesus' birth that it isn't about outsiders, it's about being insiders. And today's title in this 3-week, this is the last week in the Advent series of messages, is All of Us. So we begin by reading in Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Amen. For all the people. How many heard Linus in the background? Yeah, I did. Jesus came for all people to put an end to being on the outside, the last picked, the ineligible, too short to get on the ride until you grow. He did it in a way, as he always did, by becoming that for us. So Luke 2:7 reminds us of the story of them coming to the manger. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He started life on the outside. And we know he lived his life in many ways as an outsider compared to religious leaders of the day and political figures, and took our place. Knows how we feel and is there for us, as we talked about actually in week one, about him being there for us and giving us an understanding of what he's done. And because of that, we celebrate that it is all of us. So if you have a handout, we have two handouts. We have a yellow one and we have the white one. We're going to get to the yellow one in just a little bit here, but if you have the white one, the first blank is all are welcome. All are welcome. That's a reason to be joyful. All are welcome. Anyone can come. He did what he did, coming as a baby and living his life and giving his life and being raised from death to life for anyone. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, he died for everyone. That's Jesus. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Praise the Lord. For everyone and anyone. There's more to this verse than just the everyone. We're going to actually, if I remember correctly, flip back to the second half of that verse and give a little emphasis on that. But just to draw it out, it's everyone. It's the neighbor with the barking dog. It's the boss who doesn't appreciate your work and loads up on you and maybe blames you and maybe even steals your work. It's your difficult kinfolk, as kinfolk can sometimes be. It's everyone. It's you. It's the short and the tall. It's the clumsy and inept physically. It's the less than genius. It's for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. He came in this setting on purpose to accomplish certain goals for us in our place so that everyone could. Everyone can. The end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, it's like the end of the book. We have joy and we have the right kind of inclusion, because there's a wrong kind as well. Let's be honest. Is stated at the very end of the book. So the bride in this verse, Revelation 22, 17, is the church, all of us who are celebrating in heaven, and the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And so it reminds us, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. God with us. All of us, everyone is eligible. And if you have already accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're walking after him, which doesn't mean you're exactly like him, you can celebrate in joy today that you were included. I celebrate my inclusion into the kingdom of God when I think of my years going my own way. I come back. Somebody might want to run up some batteries just in case these are dying. I can shout, but all are welcome. Number two, if you have your handout, all who receive will be transforming. Diana said, are you sure you want it to say it that way? I do want it to be said that way, but I want to clarify. All who receive will be in the process of transforming. Coming to Jesus doesn't leave you the same, though his call is, come as you are. That's an important distinction we need to make in light especially of voices that we can hear saying other things in this world about what it means to follow Jesus. Whoever they mean, whether it's the Jesus we know and worship or some other form. Thank you, Eric. So 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17 gives us a little light on this subject. As Paul writes, but when a person changes and follows the Lord, that covering is taken away. So the verses before that talk about the Old Testament and how the law that was given, the Ten Commandments, and there are a total of 600 and some laws that comprised the laws that the Hebrew people followed to try to be holy, to try to, in their mind, it became a way to get God's favor. God never intended it that way, but you know how humans are, you know how we are, and they were like that too. And because they were pursuing a relationship with God through keeping of lists, Paul describes in this passage that there's a veil every time that law is read. This is before Jesus. And it really kind of clouds the issue because, not because the law was bad, but because people used it in the wrong way, we always do. We want to work our way to everything. It's easy to check off a list. So when he speaks these words, he's talking about what Jesus accomplished compared to that time when reading these 600 and some laws, well, there are more put in than are actually in the Bible too, because, you know, we do that too. We add to our lists in our own definition. So he says, when a person changes and follows the Lord, that's the receiving of that which is for all and for everyone. That covering is taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Our faces then are not covered. We all show the Lord's glory, and we are being changed to be like him. This change in us brings ever greater glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All who come, all who receive, will be in the process of transforming. Never ends. It never ends. Paul also said in Romans 12, one of my favorite verses, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. First of all, let's point out the promise there. When I yield myself to the process of being transformed, I get to know God's will for me. Isn't that what we all cry for? I cry for it in my morning prayer. I cry for it when I wake up in the middle of the night. Cry for it for you when I know you're going through some things as we pray for one another. What a wonderful promise that when we yield ourselves to the transformation, we get to discover God's will. Now, it's not in the form you want. You don't get mailed a manual and, you know, like the roadmap and this is where you go. It never turns out that way, I wish. But he reveals his will to you. But the word also used for transformation is the root word for metamorphosis, and is most commonly used as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Totally different. And that's the way we look at the change that comes when the all who are eligible to receive Jesus as their Savior come and say, yes, I want what you came into this little manger in this mean, miserable, outcast kind of place. The manger we see here looks way better than where he was, by the way. We always clean things up, you know. We clean the cross up at Easter time, too. It was not a pretty thing, and this wasn't a really homey, comfortable place. When we come, we are opening ourselves up to being changed, metamorphosized from a bug, from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. We need this message, I think, in light of our culture. I believe this is becoming like my trumpet call that is a part of almost every message I bring, the need we have. And I just want to encourage you, it never ends. I have been in a season of this kind of revelation of God's will in my own spirit about who I ought to be and how I ought to approach things and my perspectives and views. I'm always shocked and a little ashamed at first. We talk about Jesus taking away shame, but that doesn't mean you don't feel it at first when you realize maybe something should have been different. That I could have some of the perspectives that crop up from time to time as my patience gets thin and my anger. I've told you, I think a few weeks ago, my anger kind of every once in a while bubbles to the surface, something I thought was conquered a long time ago. And it is in this this yielding to the transformation process that brings about a true change. And I'm feeling it. I hope Diana's seeing it. She'll be the one, because she sees the worst of me, because she's around me a lot of times. You know, none of you can keep a certain way all the time. We different things bring out different aspects of us, but in the process where things aren't the way you want them to be, you're challenged to be different than you are. And when you can get to the place in your life where you say, bring it. I know learning these lessons isn't going to be easy, Lord, but bring it. Don't stop. Do this in me. My mom, when we were growing up, we were poetry people. My mom was a writer. We played the dictionary game and did that kind of head stuff. And my dad kind of laughed at us because he was kind of like a common guy. He said he wanted his kids to be average, right? So we were doing all this stuff. And my mom used to quote the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. I don't know if you know that. Some of you older folks might know that. I encourage you. I was going to read it, but I thought, no, I'm not going to read it. It's a little long. But one of the lines is, when you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, you will be a man, my son. And that whole lesson about being a good person that my mom drilled into me, good Christian lady, then I find when I grow up and as I continue to walk in the Lord, I just come up against an attitude or a perspective, and I go, Lord, this doesn't look like you. And this is what I found, and this is what is true, to come up to any standard, whether it's Rudyard Kipling's If, which let's say that's not scripture and holy, and there's some good ideas in it, but to come up with what the Bible says is possible in me to be like Jesus only happens when I submit myself to the change process, which means I have to admit that things aren't all right with me. I wrote this for a little later, but I want to say it now too. Stop looking for validation for everything about the way you are, because you're not perfect. and I'm not perfect. And frankly, validation for something that's wrong is a terrible idea. It reinforces us going in directions that are away from the grace and love of God. We don't want that. We want His patience. We want His power. All are eligible. All are welcome. But all who receive Jesus will be in the process of transforming. Not in the same pace as the person sitting next to you or anyone else in this room or anyone else in this world, but it will be ongoing. And I just want to challenge you in this Christmas season to analyze this life you live and say, am I changing to be more like Jesus? And if you find that you're not, hit your knees. Get on your knees, ask God, get me back in the process of changing. I have never regretted anything I've given up to Him, though sometimes, you know how you do that. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. And you pull a little bit, and then finally, He's very patient in taking us where we need to be. But in this concept of all of us is another important thing that and you're enjoying right now. You're here and maybe online. Some of you who are watching who are part of us and you're just not feeling well, not able to be here, you feel that sometimes. But some of you who only see us online won't have experienced this. And I encourage you to connect, whether it's us or with another church, because the third blank in your white handout is this: all the transforming have community. Community, it's the church, it's what we call the church. And we need community to transform. Yes, Jesus has the power to transform us, but He does it in community. And as we share and see what's going on in the lives of one another and realize, one, it really isn't impossible to change. We can change. Jason did it. If Jason can do it, I can do it. And you have another sheet that hopefully you got on your way in. It's on yellow paper, and it's the 59 one another's of the New Testament. There's not a lot of this kind of example in the Word where there's a same phrase that occurs over and over and over again. And these are all New Testament references about the things that happen when we're together, when the all that are eligible to receive the gift of life through Jesus say yes, and so we're now in the process of transforming, and now we have all these one another. So I'm going to read all these one another's. We'd be here a long time. We don't want to do that. You can probably smell the ladies' food cooking in the kitchen over there. But I want to share a few with you, and I want to commend this list to you to spend some time in it yourself. Not preaching to the choir and saying to everyone who's here, you should be in church. You're here. There's a little bit of that to those who aren't a part of the community, but I want to just kind of shed light a little bit on the value of the community we have in light of the transformation that is a part of following Jesus. We never just say, I am following you, Jesus, and remain the same, even though the call has come as you are. He loves us and wants us to be like Him. So I'm going to share one another. So that's the first one that slipped out. Love one another. Actually, in this list, you'll find 15 times in this list, not compiled by me, by the way. The credit is there on the paper. Love one another. 1 Peter 4:8 is the verse I chose. Out of all that are available in this list, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We all struggle with making sure we're doing the right thing. I very nearly, in a little bit of frustration and anger last night, almost barked at Tony here when we came to try to set up, and some events were going on that I didn't remember. And part of the one another's that helps me not bark when things don't happen. I know if you family, you don't think I bark. You've never heard me bark, but it's back there. I can. Like, ask Diana. I pray about that. I'm getting better. The Lord is helping me with that. But it says, I love each other deeply. So we have this little tiff, this little frustration, and not everything's clear. That's what brings frustration, things that aren't all clear. And I was able to see Tony for who she is in Christ and all she does here and not take out my frustrations on someone else. And it says here that I love deeply. Just a word to say, when it says love covers a multitude of sins, it doesn't mean that it covers them up. It means it meets them in love and finds a way out of sin to lead to forgiveness and restoration and wholeness in relationships. We need to love one another. And folks, I believe my New Year's series is going to start delving into defining some of these things, because the world is telling us that words mean certain things and that words are very important. The Holy Spirit chose certain words to use for a reason, and we need to do that too. We need to love one another as God has defined love. The second is encourage one another. We need to encourage one another, because becoming like Jesus is not easy work. But what easy work really is rewarding to you? Is it rewarding to do the easiest thing? Now, I have in my mind that. Actually, my dad called me a bum before I finally gained his work ethic. I don't know what it is. They say around 23, when your brain gets complete and chemicals line up and things kick in. But before then, it was like easy way out, shortcut. But it's not rewarding. It's not fulfilling. Hard things bring a sense of accomplishment, and it's good to do the hard thing of following Jesus. And we need one another's encouragement to do so. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. We're here together to build one another up. So when one person is down, the other person, it works in a marriage, it works in a friendship, it works in certain social situations outside of the church, but it only works best in the community of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And we're able to bolster those people who are facing the hard work of transformation. And the last of the what I call the three happy one another's, and I want to share each other's burdens. There's nothing like somebody who comes alongside of you in the midst of trouble to share that burden, to lift your spirit. It's part of encouragement, really, but deserves a separate mention. So Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ, right? Carry one another's burdens. That's an easy list to keep. Carry one another's burdens. People are often asked in a time when there's a loss of life, what do you say to somebody? You don't have to know what to say. You just need to be there and share the burden. It makes a tremendous difference. We've had a couple family members who have lost loved ones recently, very recently, still painfully recent. What a difference it makes to know somebody's just there to encourage. When people are loving us, so loving us through our inconsistencies, loving us in this, I learn a little bit from the Lord and I stake some ground, but then maybe I fall back a little bit and then I learn some more. We need to love one another through that. We need to encourage one another because it's difficult. We need to share one another's burdens. But the last two I want to share are difficult. They're more difficult. They're not the happy one another's. There's lots of those happy ones. These are a little difficult, but they're equally needy. I can't say more needy, because love, encouragement, and sharing those burdens are needy, but difficult and so needful today. The fourth one is confess sins to each other. James put it this way, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We're all going to fall. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to sin. We're not going to be sinners. That's different. For a different time, there's a difference. We don't get everything right. This is where I originally wrote in to share, stop looking for affirmation in everything you do and every characteristic of the person you think you are. Look instead for God's truth and his call to be like Jesus and to be transformed. And confess. What we see today is a glut of people who can't say, I'm wrong, who can't even say, I better think about this. Instead, it's just, you better agree with me or I'm going to cancel you. I know I'm leaning on that, but man, this is an issue, and we need to talk about it in the church as well. We confess our sins. We just admit we're wrong, and that so we flip back to the happy ones. If I'm loving you and you're loving me through my inconsistencies, when I admit to doing something wrong, it is not so cataclysmic that you cancel me. Because let's face it, there have been times in the church where someone's confession of sin, we didn't know it as cancel culture back then, but it was almost like, oh, how could you have done something like that? Well, because you're a human being. And we need to love you into wholeness again, not turn you away. And we try to practice that here. And by the way, I want to remind you, all of the things we call one another to, we won't always get it right at LFM Church. I'm going to offend you someday, or you're going to offend me, or we're going to offend someone. We have to admit our humanity and difficulty with that, but we press through it because we know what's on the other side as God mends relationships and brings wholeness. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So as we admit that, and then the last one is to warn one another. We need to warn one another when things are going off on tangents, away from the holiness of God, away from the image of Jesus that we're called to be transforming into throughout the whole course of our lifetime. It couldn't be clearer. Hebrews 3:13, you must warn each other, it says, every day, while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Man, I just watched a debate. It's not really a debate, but a discussion between two opposing views. The Jesus view of one subject. I'm not going to share the subject. I think I'm going to share the subject next year when we talk about some of these things. But and I could see how the person who wasn't following the biblical example of Jesus got just enough truth and spun his own. And by the way, it wasn't his own. It was a whole kind of cultural direction, understanding of these things and leading people away. And I have heard people say at different times that we don't have the right, or it is not our business as Christians to, it would be phrased this way, tell one another how to live, or tell each other how to live. I say that it is exactly our calling. In part, we have a large calling and a powerful calling, that for those who admit to following Jesus, that's what this verse right there means. Not tell somebody how to live, to warn and say, brother, you're heading in a different direction. Sister, that's old talk, right? We really don't say that, but are you really thinking? Let's think about this. Let's pray about this together. And I wouldn't suggest that this is for non-Christians. We have no right to tell the world how to behave and what things to do or not do. Our call to them is to tell them about Jesus, because it's only the Holy Spirit that will get a hold of them, and they need to meet Jesus before they can change anything. Makes it difficult when we talk about loving so-called enemies, but that's where the power lies. We love them and let Jesus deal with them. We just call them, come and see, come and see. That's one of the reasons we do extra things at Christmas. Come and see this Jesus. It's different than the news tells you it is, and all the voices on social media tell who he is. It is the loving God of the Bible. But in the church, we need to be warning. Now, that's not pointing fingers at one another and saying, be like me, or what's wrong with you, or because we're already loving one another. We're encouraging one another. We share one another's burdens, and we don't lay down one another to pick up another and forsake that one. This is 59 of them. We're supposed to be practicing these one another's all at once. And in this wonderful community called the church, we have the support we need, the warning we need, the reminders of God's word we need, the examples of successful living in Jesus and growing past difficulties. And man, who knows how many different crazy situations we could share just this morning, right, that you have worked through and walked through and grown through closer to Jesus because we've done it together. God is with us. All of us. All of us can. If you have, rejoice that you have. If you haven't yet, this is the day when you hear the voice, and not my voice either, the Holy Spirit calling to you, come. Come and say yes to Jesus and enter into a life of transformation. The joy is that it lifts us away from whatever the changing opinions, habits, and patterns of the world ever throws at us. We're above that. We walk with Jesus now and forever. It's not just a Christmas thing around a tree and warm memories like we're going to have on Christmas morning for a little bit. Today you can pray to receive Jesus. If you've already done that, though, celebrate with joy that you walk this life of transformation. Before our question at the end, what followed our opening passage in Luke chapter 2 about it being for all, Jesus being for all, the angel gave a sign so that he would know when it was coming to be. And we celebrate it as an event that's already happened. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The sign was the manger. We celebrate that it's done today. Today it's for all of us. So, what all do you need? Initially, do you need the all of Jesus to welcome you in to something brand new and different? That if you're on the outside of that now and looking in, it looks weird. We understand. I understand. It looks weird. It's different. It's better. It's beautiful. It's difficult. It's rewarding. We experience it together. All you have to do is say, Jesus, today I will start following you. But what other all do you need? Or maybe what barrier to the all do you experience? What have you held on to that should instead be confessed first to God and perhaps to one another? It depends on what that is. What if you wanted validation for that what you really need to do is to turn loose and say, Lord, show me the real way, the right way. That's what I long for in my life, no matter how painful, no matter how long. What all do you need so that you can be all in? Spend some time thinking about that and take a step in his direction. I encourage you to do that today before you leave. But if not, I would love to hear, especially if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, you can fill out our connection card online or out at the info booth and leave it with me, and I'd love to reach out and pray because we want to enfold you into the community because it's difficult in the world that is against who Jesus is to continue to follow, but he designed us to do it together. I pray you find that in this season of Christmas. Would you stand? I'm going to pray. Praise team's going to come and get ready to close. If you need to step out, you're welcome to step out. As Pastor Mike encouraged, we have an altar. That's not necessary, but what I encourage you to do is never make a decision and leave it in your own mind. Find another person with whom you can share that and start the connection and encouragement in one another's that we need to celebrate fully the joy of this season and be able to tell other people about it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the all. Thank you for the inclusion of all of us who will, as you draw men and women and boys and girls, as you speak into the darkness that sometimes we know we're in, and sometimes we're really not aware. It just feels like life. Thank you, Lord, that you never tire of calling out to us, come. Come to me. I've done everything. I came and experienced life as a human being. We know, Lord, you bear the marks in the body that you bore on the cross. So forever you are one of us. Move us, Lord, to appropriate the all that we need right now. I pray, Lord, you'd be with anyone in hearing of my voice who doesn't follow you yet, to heed the call, come as you are, and simply say, Lord, I begin following you today. And for those of us who have already done that, help us to have defined, show us what we need to give up to you, maybe to one another, to restore relationships. Who knows what it is you do? Reveal it to us and to turn us loose, not only to feel the joy of celebrating the birth of a Christ child, but to share the joy with one another and outside where the darkness still is, that they might see the light. So we commit ourselves to you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.